In Genesis chapter 22, in Genesis 22 in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, Isaac and his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Notice the questions of Isaac. Abraham said, God will provide for he himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mounts of the Lord it will be provided. I want you to ponder on these verses for just a moment or two. I want to suggest that what we find here, and the Word of God continues to be very, very controversial. This continues to be one of the most controversial accounts in all the Bible. This continues to be an account that makes a lot of people, even Christians, very uncomfortable. And for those who may not know much about the big picture of the Bible story, I guess rightfully so. I mean, think about what we got going on here, brothers and sisters. Think about how here in the Word of God, we can read about a time when God actually commanded his servant Abraham to take his son, his only son, with his wife Sarah, and go and offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. God told Abraham to go and kill his son. Keep in mind that this is the same son that Abraham waited about 25 years to get. This is the same son that was born to Abraham when he was 100 years old. This is the same son that God himself promised to give Abraham. God went through a lot to give Abraham Isaac. And yet, despite all God went through, here in the Bible, we find God still commanding him to kill Isaac. I said, Abraham, I want you to kill your son. The question is why? Why does God do this? Why does God give these instructions? Why does God instruct Abraham to kill the son that he's waited for 25 years? Well, as we seek to find answers to that question, let me begin by first pointing out a couple of obvious things from the text. First, brothers and sisters, one of the things that I think we need to really appreciate is this whole situation that Abraham found himself in was really designed by God to be a test of his faith. It was designed to be a test of Abraham's faith and trust in God. Let me tell you something. You may have had various times in your life where you felt your faith and trust in God was tested, but I promise you, no, rather I guarantee you, that your faith has never been tested like this. Your faith has never been tried like this. Speaking as a father of two beautiful children, I personally cannot think of a more difficult commandment that God could give someone other than this commandment that God gave to Abraham. I personally can't think of anything harder for a father to do than go through all the trouble of taking your child on a long journey up a mountain, carrying a bunch of wood just so you could kill him. This is a very difficult commandment that God gives to Abraham, and yet despite its difficulty, there is no indication from the text that Abraham ever hesitated. There is no indication from the text that Abraham ever wavered or complained or griped or even asked God a question. In fact, the text seems to indicate that Abraham got up and he went and did exactly what God said. He was confident that God was going to work all this out. And for those who may wonder, why was he so confident about this? Remember what the Hebrew writer said in the Hebrews 11, right? Remember, according to Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, the Hebrew writer tells us that even if Abraham had to go through with all of this and actually kill his son, he has such great faith and trust in God that he knew that God had the power to raise him from the dead. He knew that God had the power to resurrect Isaac and give Isaac right back to him. And so this whole exercise that Abraham is going through was a demonstration of his faith. It was an opportunity for Abraham to demonstrate just how much faith and trust he had in God, and he certainly passed that test. He certainly clearly shows us why he is the father of faith. But even beyond that, brothers and sisters, I believe there's something else we really need to appreciate about this account. You see, while this whole situation with Abraham can be a very disturbing thing for us to read today, we need to understand that what's going on here fits perfectly with the overall story of the Bible. It fits perfectly with the scheme of redemption story of the Bible. It perfectly foreshadows what God the Father was going to do with his son, Jesus Christ. And so I want you to notice some similarities between the offering of these two fathers. First, I want you to notice how when it came to the Son of God and the Son of Abraham, when you look at their stories from the big picture, you see that both of these sons, Isaac and Jesus, were born under extraordinary circumstances. In the case of Isaac, remember, he was born to Abraham when Abraham was 100 years old. Abraham was 100 and his wife Sarah was 90. When was the last time you seen that? When was the last time you seen a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman bring a child into the world? You ever seen that before? That doesn't happen in our time today, and it didn't happen in their time. This was by the power of God. Isaac came into the world under some extraordinary circumstances. But even though he came into the world under extraordinary circumstances, believe it or not, Jesus came into the world under even more extraordinary circumstances. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus came into the world without an earthly father. He's the only person in the history of the world that can be said of. And so both sons came into the world under extraordinary circumstances. And both sons are referred to as the only begotten of their fathers. That's what Isaac is called in Hebrews 11 and verse 17. That's what Jesus is called in John 3 and verse 16. Both were also offered at Mount Moriah. I don't know if you know this or not, but many scholars suggest that the temple area of Jerusalem was exactly where Moriah was in the time of Abraham. Many scholars suggest that King Solomon actually built the temple on top of Mount Moriah. If that is the case, then that would mean something very special. That would mean that both Isaac and Jesus were offered in the same vicinity by their fathers, both near or around Jerusalem. Both were also willing participants. Contrary to what you may have read out of those little children Bible story books, Isaac wasn't some little kid at this time. He wasn't 5, 6, 9, or even 10 years old. Instead, the text seems to indicate that Isaac was probably a teenager. He probably was the age of Jared or Micah or Zach. In verse number 6, we see that he's old enough to carry wood up a mountain. And then notice the questions that he constantly asks his father about worship. Those are not the questions of a six-year-old child. Those are the questions of a young man. He's a young man at this time, probably a teenager. And so I guess the question is, how in the world does Abraham get him on the altar? How in the world does he get Isaac in this position to kill him? I want to suggest that the reason why Abraham was able to get Isaac in this position is because Isaac had to have been a willing participant. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a 115-year-old man be able to get a 60-year-old kid on an altar? Isaac had to have been a willing participant. And Jesus was as well. In John 10 and verse 18, Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This authority I've received from my Father." Both also carried their own wood to the place of their sacrifice. Isaac carried his own wood, according to verse 6. And Jesus bore his cross to Golgotha. And both also had announcements of victory beforehand. Abraham told the men who were with him, he says, "You wait right here because we're both going to come back. We're both going to go worship God and we're both going to come back." He knew Isaac was going to come back. And Jesus on several times said, "You may kill me, you may tear down my temple, but in 3 days, God's going to raise it up again." What I just want you to see is there are similarities, so many similarities between the sacrifice of Isaac and the sacrifice of Jesus. But as I get ready to close this, I just want to suggest that there is one major difference. There is one major difference between these two stories, and it's this right here. God did not require Abraham to offer his son at the end of the story, right? Isaac wasn't actually killed on this occasion. God gave Abraham a ram to sacrifice, but in the case of Jesus, God did not hold back. God did not hold back offering his son as the Lamb of God for our sins. Abraham didn't have to kill Isaac. They got to go home together. But God did give Jesus. God did give Jesus for you and for me. As John the Baptist said, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The question is, are you a follower of Jesus? Have you taken advantage of the sacrifice that God has given you because he loves you so much? If not, you have an opportunity to take advantage of that right here and right now. And if we can help you, let's stand. Let's sing together.